Hello, this is bit depth number 1452, which appeared in the Trinidad and Tobago Newsday on April 1st, 2024, under the headline, The United States versus Apple. On March 21st, the Antitrust Division of the U.S. State Department filed an 88-page complaint against Apple, alleging that the company was engaged in anti-competitive actions to the detriment of the public. The complaint notes, without irony, that it was an antitrust case against Microsoft that made it possible for Apple to distribute its iTunes software, then necessary to communicate with its iPod music player on the Windows platform, steering the company, then routinely described as beleaguered, back to profitability. Today, the sheer scale of Apple's profitability since introducing the iPhone is now a concern for the State Department. Apple, once on the verge of bankruptcy, is now the second most profitable company in the world, earning profits of US$99.8 billion in 2023, behind Saudi Aramco, who made US$151 billion. Apple operates with sizable margins across all its product lines and has a robust hold on the mid to upscale market for smartphones. The iPhone may be the company's flagship, earning 52% of the company's revenue, but it's Apple's second largest money spinner that seems to have drawn the attention of the US government. Apple services, including Apple TV, Apple Music, and Apple Pay, accounts for 22% of the company's revenue, and it's drawing the lion's share of the concern articulated in the 88-page document. To be fair, Apple has been pretty heavy-handed in protecting its moneymakers, ejecting Epic Games and its hit game Fortnite from the App Store because the gaming company wanted to establish its own payment systems within the game, bypassing Apple's restrictions and 30% fee. That fee has long been a sticking point with developers, along with Apple's insistence that software on their App Store must adhere to more strict programming guidelines. Here's where some personal experience factors in. I've long been a fan and supporter of special-purpose single-task tools that zero in effectively on computing problems. I've spent a small fortune, or to be more accurate, an unholy number of tiny payments to small shop, individual developers who create software I find particularly useful over the last 30 years. Only a few of the more adventurous of these developers are present on the company's App Store, and many must jump through coding hoops when Apple changes the programming interfaces in its operating system. For a user with less of a taste for the wild side of software programming, Apple's online store does offer a range of special-purpose small apps in a curated environment that safeguards anyone downloading software there. Some developers create a sanctified version of their software that passes App Store scrutiny, while offering a more capable but edgier version that is usually available on their website without the 30% fee that Apple levies. More user experience. At the end of 2023, after more than 12 years of using an Android phone with a Macintosh computing system, I got an iPhone again. That decade of experience navigating a mixed computing environment meant making some careful choices around software that worked on multiple platforms, but there's unquestionably something compelling about living entirely inside Apple's walled garden. Phone calls, for instance, ring everywhere, on the laptop, on the iPad, on the phone, hell, even on the watch. There's software that makes that happen on a Mac and an Android device, but it was pretty expensive for just that added convenience. Apple's spirited protection of and continuous improvement to its intimate binding of hardware and software is key to its profitability. The company earns more than 70% of its revenue from a combination of iPhone sales and services designed to enhance it. Google, by comparison, earns 57% of its revenue from search and another 10% from YouTube. 60% of Microsoft's revenue comes from cloud products for the Office and server operations, with Windows pulling in another 10%. Amazon earns 42% of its revenue from its online stores and another 22% from third-party sellers who do business on that platform. Facebook earns 98% of its revenue from advertising on its platform. It should come as no surprise that each of these companies vigorously defends the jewels of their crown, and each has learned some level of scrutiny from the State Department, which views these successes as potential monopolies in their sectors, though it also hints at the cumulative nature of avalanche technology successes. More open software environments benefit all users, as the State Department's complaint argues. But Apple's software ecosystem isn't as closed as the complaint insists, though this action may encourage some welcome loosening of its unnecessarily exclusionary restrictions and shake some percentage points loose for its developers.
The print version of this column was trimmed to meet column lengths for the newspaper. This reading by the author is the complete version of the column. The song Wonderland, composed and performed by Peter Shim, is used with his kind permission. This column and other technology reporting archives are also to be found at technewstt.com. Thanks for listening. Bye.